for this week. Let's say it all together. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's go ahead and turn in our songbooks to number 201. 201, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Today, all of God's faithful people to adore the Lord God Himself and His Son, His Christ, that He has sent to us. Let's go to Him with a word of prayer. Father, You have made us. You know who we are. Lord, You've made us upright. And You've told us, and we have, our own experience verifies that man has sought out many inventions. We have corrupted ourselves. We've turned against You. And yet, You are not through with us, as You rightly could have. And yet, Lord, You have decided to demonstrate mercy and grace to us. Lord, You've worked a plan in which You have prophesied throughout all the Old Testament that You would send one to come. And yet it was not seen, or clearly seen, as it could have been, until Your Son Jesus came and died upon a cruel cross to be the satisfaction for our unrighteousness and to appease Your righteous wrath. Father, we are so grateful to You for this gospel truth that undergirds our lives, whether we think about it or not, but we have come to meditate upon these great truths, to take comfort in them, and to rejoice in You, to adore You, and to worship You. Father, may every part of this service bring glory and honor to Your name. May our hearts not be partially here, but wholly invested into bringing forth and proclaiming Your glory in our midst. And Lord, would You reveal Yourself? Would You draw near to us? Would we hear Your word? Would we hear Your voice? May we respond with obedience and walk out of here with the filling and the strengthening and the power of your might that works mightily within us. We pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome you each to the service today. I'd love to give a special welcome to anyone who might be a guest with us today. If you have anyone you'd like to introduce or acknowledge, just signify that with uplifted hand. I don't know if I see anyone today, but so many familiar faces, and what a joy it is to be in the house of God with family and our church family. We want to praise the Lord before Brother Dan comes and share some announcements of things that are going forth. I just want to say a thank you to all those that participated this past weekend in allowing us to get the gospel out at least over 12 different times, I think probably even 14 times. Had over 200 people in attendance from different places, gathered a lot of people out of town, and came some specifically to see a nativity. And we're able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to our town and to those that would be able to be there. So a lot of work went involved to set that up, to tear it down, and I marvel. I just praise my God who has put it in your hearts to do something for his name. And we have another opportunity to do that again this weekend right here at our church. So I'll let Brother Dan come share some of the things that are upcoming and ways that we can serve our Lord.
Okay. First of all, right after the morning service, all the ladies in Jamie Geyer's ministry team have a meeting right down here. And so I just want to let you know about that. And then tonight is our harvest dinner at 5 o'clock. And so if you're able to bring something to share, that'd be great. Everybody's welcome to come, whether or not you are able to bring something. And that's always a good time of fellowship each year. And as we celebrate what the Lord has done for us this year. And then the evening service will begin right after we finish that. Also, any men who are able or teenage boys who can help at 4:30 before that, get that trailer unloaded with nativity stuff. If you're available to help with that, that would be a wonderful blessing. And then with the Living Nativity coming up, it is Friday and Saturday, 6 to 8. And there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. If you can bring cookies and desserts for that to share with people who will be coming. And also, I think there's a sign-up also for food for the workers as well. But anyway, those are in the lobby. You can see those and opportunities that are there. And then for the Living Nativity itself, there are still several spots that need to be filled. So see Dan Davis if you are able to help with that. He'll be around this morning. Is there anything else with that I'm forgetting? Yes, and all week long they'll be putting all those. You saw some of those out there already, but they're going to put it all together and build some more. And so anyway, if you can help with that at all during the week, get with Dan Davis on scheduling and all of that. And so that would be a great help. And then we have a Christmas Singspiration next Sunday night during our evening service. And so just want to make you aware of that. Looking forward to that. And we have the Ladies' Christmas Party. That is Saturday, December 16th. It'll be an ornament exchange. And that's at 2 p.m. And there's more information about that in the bulletin, so you can check that out as well. And then, of course, Sunday the 17th, the children's choir is doing a peanut butter Christmas in our evening service, and so that is coming up. So anyway, and there's several other things in there that we have going on, and so that's all in the bulletin. Our missionary family, let's see, missionary family of the week. We don't have a slide, sorry. I went too far. Is the Tillman family over in serving both in Mongolia and Thailand, and so they are very busy serving and doing a lot of great things over there. And so just keep them in prayer as they travel and as they work with the people over there. I know they have a ministry to the lepers and they have several other things. And so just keep them in prayer. Their latest prayer letter is in the lobby with specific prayer requests. And so be sure to check that out today and be in special prayer for them this week. And then our church. Oh, I missed one thing. Another announcement. There is a meeting tonight for those involved in Living Nativity, a brief meeting after the service tonight. If you have not, if you're involved in that or haven't signed up yet and want to help, see Dan Davis in that meeting after church. Sorry about that. Our family of the week is the Elliots, right back over here. Any specific prayer requests for you guys? Okay. All right, amen. All right, we're praying for you guys.
Amen. Also, with that Sinkspiration, just looking for those that would like to use their talents and abilities to serve the church. And so if you have young people or others that would like to play some instrument or something, we're looking for opportunities in that regard. So just contact me. Also, one of our ministries is through Trail Life, and you may have had one of the Trail Life young men come up to you, but this is the last day in which they have a fundraiser for some Krispy Kreme donuts. So if you'd like to make a purchase of Krispy Kreme donuts, those donuts will be brought to you, but a portion of that will go to as a donation to Trail Life as well. So if you'd like to do that, just talk to one of the flag down one of our young men, and more than likely they're involved in the Trail Life here, and would love to help you with that and get you some donuts this week. So.
Okay, let's stand again, if you're able, and turn to number 203, O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of shall he the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His
standing for our scripture reading.
Let's take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We get to hear a passage of scripture, which we love, and love at this time of year. We'll begin reading here in verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, join me, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May God bless the reading of his word to his people. I invite you to have a seat where you are. We're going to have a time of prayer while the guitars play for us this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Day by day, His strength is with us. I'd like to ask Brother Roger Lemming, would you mind praying for offering here this morning?
Praise the Lord. All right, let's turn to 197 in our songbooks. 197, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song. Their harps of gold, peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled. Floats o'er all the weary world. crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad and golden hours, come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hasting on, my prophet bards foretold, when with the ever circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own their king, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
All right, then one more over to 219. 219, Silent Night, Holy Night.
Savior is born.
If you enjoyed that, then I encourage you to come to our Peanut Butter Christmas and hear quite a few different songs from our young people. And they've been working hard this Christmas time, and I know that they're going to do a great job on the 17th. So that's going to be a great blessing. We can take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I'll go ahead and dismiss our young people to their children's church. I enjoy this time of year, and I think in ministry I'm learning to enjoy it more and more in terms of preaching messages on Christmas time, a great time to focus upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He has done. It's beautiful singing as we've done together and just meditating on those words in Silent Night. I think about, we just had little baby Abigail born here and newest addition to our church family, so to speak. And they're a little baby, and it's just amazing. Look at that little teeny little head that fit in your palm, your hand, and sleeping away. And we think about that aspect of a baby at sleep. And is that not a beautiful picture of heavenly peace? Not filled with worry or care, but not even knowing all the things that are going to take place in this world as a baby would, and yet to think of our Lord in such a frail and small, and He was made human. He came and took upon human flesh for that very purpose, to be frail, to be mortal, to die for us. And as I've been meditating this week upon the implications of what Jesus Christ has done, we find one of those key elements found for us in the declaration of the angels. Peace on earth. God's desire for us. We had a wonderful opportunity this past week to go hear a musical presentation of Handel's Messiah. It's really well done in Kansas City. It was quite... it was a musical experience, but it was a religious experience. It was just rapturing in terms of the hope and the joy, and so thankful for the opportunity to do that. And yet there's an aspect when in music, it reminds me of this element of peace, because music is always moving towards a resolution. We might call it the tonic chord, might call it that final, but when you get there, you know it's there. And a lot of times in these songs, it's moving and moving, and there's lots of swaying and back and forth, and it almost feels like it's there. But then when it came to that final amen, and the choir is moving, and the vocal aspect of it is just up and down and fluttering around that tonic chord, and then it finally comes into it, and the organ plays, and you've come to the final note. There was a lot of cheering. A lot of clapping, not because it was over, but because the final end and the grandeur and the beauty had been met. There's an aspect to which peace is like that final chord. It's not the absence of wrong notes, but the presence of the fullness of the divine notes that God has for us. We often think of peace as the absence of conflict, and though that is true, we know the need for peace through conflict, but it really is a state of happiness, of rest, of satisfaction. Another picture of peace that comes to my mind is a pool of water. Maybe not just a pool. Maybe a pool, I'm in terms of whatever body you might think of, but I'm picturing of maybe a lake in my mind. Early in the morning, unmarred by wind or maybe foreign objects. There's the beauty of a sunrise coming up. You know, when you're in that moment and you're seeing all the grandeur and the stillness, I don't know if it's true for you, but it's true for me. I can't help but start to think and rehearse of all the goodness of God to me. that I would be able to experience this, that I'd be able to see this. And what else has God done? And there's a mirroring from that picture and what we experience in that moment of peace in our environment to the peace that God has brought to our lives. The truth that I want to share with us from Luke chapter 2 is that God has provided for the peace of all men through Jesus Christ. That's what we are to learn from the gospel story, is that God has provided everything that's needed for the peace of men through Jesus Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. I feel a sense of great need for God's strength today and God's empowerment. And let's turn our hearts to ask Him to bless us today. Dear Father, Lord, we come to You. We are empty, but You are full. Lord, You are a God of peace. You are called the God of peace. And we need Your peace in our lives. Father, I pray that the power of the gospel would explode in this room. And when the dynamite and the power of Your word explodes, it doesn't create chaos. It restores order and brings peace to our lives. Father, would You do what only You can do? And we will be careful to give You the glory, for of You and through You and to You are all things. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I want us to focus our attention here to verse 14. And if you were in Sunday school, the opening words certainly ought to delight you. Glory to God in the highest. We're going to look at that phrase tonight. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Hear God's word of peace, transmitted by the angels. Not much was told in that heavenly chorus. We would have loved for them to fill a whole book of God's divine revelation, but within two short sentences, God has a revelation of the significance of the coming of Jesus Christ. In the midst of this, we find an element there of God's declaration. It is a revealing word to us. It reveals what God wants for His creation. It reveals God's heart of love for all mankind. The psalmist said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I want to hear the word of God to me. Why? Why are you so keen, O psalmist, to hear the word of God? For He will speak peace unto His people. This reveals the heart of God to us. A heart that Jonah unfortunately reluctantly acknowledged. That Thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest Thee of the evil. There is not a people group, well, maybe they're rivaled by others, but they're at the top. They may be tied with others, of people that you would expect no mercy from God. And those were the wicked Assyrian Ninevite people who did unspeakable horrors to those whom they captured. And yet God was merciful to those Gentiles when He gave them no word of promise of mercy. And yet they turned. And God's heart is open to all men. There's an aspect to which, we, as we look towards this, it is a surprising word. This word ought to surprise us. Peace from God? Why should it surprise us? Why? Because we are rebellious against Him. Deuteronomy 9:24 says, ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. You know, it's interesting. Peace is like harmony. It's three notes being put together, and they're all right in perfect mathematical sequence away from each other, and it sounds good to our ear. But you pull out a right note, and you begin to put in the wrong notes and things that are close and too, they're outside of where it is in that perfect harmony. And at that moment, we get discord. And no one wants to end a song in discord. It's rather irritating to us. As one writer put it, the beautiful melody of God was marred by the harsh and cruel notes of man's sinfulness. When someone's playing the piano and someone's practicing a violin or a trumpet in the same room and they're not practicing the same piece, or the same notes, the same key. Don't tell me how I know this. It's not lovely. It's not something that you sit there and you enjoy. It's not peaceful. God had a beautiful melody. And we have like little children coming up to the piano and banging on the keys while he's playing this melody to ruin it on purpose. See, we're not just accidental transgressors. We are mutineers. We have been graciously been accepted upon his vessel. We were wearing his uniforms. And we plotted against him. We were not thankful. We decided that we could steer the ship. We knew the course and the chart for our own destiny, and we knew what had to happen. Couldn't reach the captain, but we could reach his son, steering, and we plotted murder against the King of Kings. The captain of our salvation. We're murderers. Rebels against Almighty God. We should not hear a word of peace from Him. The Bible says that God has become our enemy. 1 Samuel 28:16, the Lord is departed from thee. O thou Saul, O thou who would not listen to God's word, he's departed from you and become your enemy. You respond to God like Ahab did to the prophet of God. Thou hast found me, O mine enemy. Yes, he had found him. Because he had sold himself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. We've transgressed, we've broken his commandments, we've despised his good instructions. God says, I will ease me of mine adversaries. I will avenge me of mine enemies. Oh. One that has never experienced this word of peace. You stand before God as God is your enemy. You're like a man living here on this earth. You're like a man who's on death row, eating your last meal. Oh man, This tea is especially good today. Oh my, how the biscuits and the gravy are just my real favorite. Can you enjoy your last meal knowing that the end is nigh? You're like a man hiding behind a shield with the troops behind you, and yet you're at the front of the line and you are marching into battle. And you see that the enemy is of far greater strength. There is no way that you can win, let alone survive, on the last being at the front of the line. And yet you take one more step and one more step, marching to meet your enemy. You're like a man who has swallowed poison and awaiting death. Sin is percolating through your organs and through your mind and your heart, and you are becoming hardened against God, prepared and made ready for death. Is there such a one like this in this room? Prepare to meet your God, and oh, the judgment day. To stand before your enemy who made you, and yet you rebelled against him. And you're without excuse. You've heard the warnings. You've heard the overtures. And now God looks and reads and says, your name is not in the Lamb's book of life. And you must give an account and answer for all of the wicked words you've said. And for all of the rebellion in your heart, and for all of the excuses, and for all of the evil thoughts. And when that short mercy, if you can call it mercy, is over, the angels will bind you and cast you into a fiery pit that you cannot see. It's a place of outer darkness. And yet for my mind, I cannot imagine hell in a place of complete darkness. I have to picture in my mind the rolling ocean of lava to which to be thrown in of an excruciating pain and to experience in that moment the worst spiritual and physical torture that is possibly known to man, and to know that there is no hope and there's no coming out of it for all of eternity, and the Bible calls that the wrath of God. That is where man is heading. That is what they deserve to hear from Almighty God when He shows up to this earth. That is what's coming to everyone who refuses the message of the Word today. It's true. It's real. And I wouldn't be a preacher of the gospel if I didn't tell you about it. You know, the Bible says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Almighty God is the exemplar of this great truth. Like the Syrian bands who were blinded when they came to attack Israel, but were led by Elisha to the capital of the city of Israel. And their eyes were opened, and the king didn't know what to do. Oh, do I smite them? Do I smite them? Oh, I've got them now. And Elisha's word is, no, prepare a feast for them and send them away. You've arrived on the battlefield. Your heart is fighting against God. And yet a word of peace from heaven comes to you.
He has a feast for you. He loves you. You're on death row, and a pardon has been signed for you. You're sitting there ready to die, and he hands you a cure. This is the message of peace. It is truly a surprising word. But it is a timely word, too. Peace on the earth. Isn't that what man has longed for? I marvel every time I watch the Olympics. They have some grand ceremony. There's always something that's a part of those opening ceremonies. Doves. I remember one year they left off all these doves to go up and fly up in the air, symbolizing peace on the world. Man yearns for peace. You can say what you will about God, but we yearn for peace. We want the fruit of Him. We long for it in our souls. We long for it in our lives. But you know what? Man cannot achieve peace. Have we not just to take a cursory example around the globe? Could I not set a globe here and spin it and put a finger anywhere on the globe and find a place of conflict in our world today? We hear of wars and rumors of wars and other fightings, and there's nations that are fighting that hardly have any care to us as America and hardly reaches our news. Yet it's ongoing. There's conflict between races and those of incomes and political parties and good versus evil in this world. Conflict all around us. But can we get a little more personal? There's conflict in our homes. Men use their strength and their leadership to advantage themselves. Like wild stallions, they live for personal pleasure, but run away from the responsibility of the carriage. When there's a lack of humility, there's cutting words. There's rough tones. I'm never wrong. Seldom apologize. Never in brokenness. There's conflict. When our women despise their husbands, feel gratified and confident to criticize and correct them, feel pride in their own opinion and love to hear the verbosity of their own mouth, feel free and spirited in leadership and restrained and recalcitrant under it. When our children are a brood of little vipers, cute in appearance, but deadly in their sinfulness. They refuse to obey from the womb, constantly complain, seek to evade responsibility, talk back when corrected, live solely for themselves, bicker with one another, use ugly names, demonstrate that the poison of asp is still underneath their tongues. Well, there's conflict. Many times people do not enjoy Christmas because it's a time when the conflict is accentuated. I don't know if this is still true today. They say that Sunday afternoon is a time of the most domestic violence. People have their meals. I'm talking about people coming out of church, but most of the time people get up late, have their meal, and then the conflict. And the police have got to be ready, because here it comes. On the weekend, families are together. Conflict, lack of peace. How about the lack of peace in our souls? The burden, weighted down, disappointed, fretful. Oh, the disappointments of life, how they can crush us under. to the place where you feel like, I can't go on like this. I would just like some peace. What's a timely word from God to us? I want us to think here as well that this is not just a word of peace to us, but this is an explanation of God's action of peace towards us. Because this is the announcing of the birth of a person. So maybe I'll call Jesus Christ here in our sermon the person of peace. He is declaring to us that He has done something to secure our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, 14 puts it very simply. He is our peace. It's Jesus. The answer to our world today, the answer to our problems, to our homes, to our hearts and our lives, it's found in a person. Oh, it was a joy to try to explain that last night. To try to let people know that this right here really is the answer. It's Jesus Christ. You know that He's called the Prince of Peace? That He is the King of the City of Peace. He is going to bring peace to this world. I didn't tell you this at the beginning. I guess I overlooked it. But this is a two-part message, by the way. And we need to explore that aspect a little bit more next time of God's plan of peace for this world. I want to tell you that He has the power of peace. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus Christ has the power of peace in His very words? What about the storm? What about the waves that would make grown fishermen fear for their lives? And Jesus stood up. What was the first word out of His mouth? Peace, be still. And the winds and the waves ceased. And there was a great calm. Jesus can do that for you today. Do that in your heart. Do that in your life. Do that in your world. Not what He can do for us and for the winds and the waves, God has promised He will do for the world. Zechariah 9:10 says, "The King cometh unto thee, just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of a foal of an ass." And it says, "And He shall speak peace unto the heathen," to the nations, the Gentiles. He has the power of peace in His words. But I want us to focus a little bit more in depth tonight, this morning, before it turns night, upon the sacrifice of peace. If you wouldn't mind, take your Bibles and let's just turn over to Isaiah 53. Oh, we could read the whole of this, and we practically may. Isaiah 53, verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We thought it was for His sinfulness." Oh, God was rejecting Him. That's the nation's stance towards Him. And yet, He was doing it for us. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. what it took to create peace with Almighty God. Jesus supplied it. And what it took were wounds and bruises and stripes and derision and scoffing. How many times was Jesus beaten at his trials? While he awaited trial, he was being punched in the face while being blindfolded. They would whip him. And then he was taken to Herod. Herod wanted to see something, and when he didn't, it says his soldiers set him at naught. They despised him, they cared not for him, and they treated him with despite. And we don't even know what that means. They roughed him up. Taken back to Pilate. He was scourged to be made pitiable. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My sinfulness, my pride, my wickedness, my way. He experienced it. He received what I deserved. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He just took it. He just accepted it. It was the will of his God for him, his Father. He was taken from prison and from judgment. There was no justice for him. There was no imprisonment. Who shall declare his generation? He's been killed. For he was cut off from out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Bruised and bleeding, his skin lying in shrivels, his bones exposed, he was nailed to a cruel cross. He hung in nakedness so that every breath that he breathed was an ordeal of greatest trial and agony. To pull himself up on those. They say that when they dropped those crosses into the holes, that they dislocated the joints of their body. So he pulls up on those disjointed joints and pulls himself up just to breathe. One more breath and slides back down that splintery cross. He was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was innocent, and yet he was treated like a criminal. He had to be buried, and yet because of his righteousness, God had ordained that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb, anticipating what God would do. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The Father offering the Son for our sin. But it says, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. God saw what he did, the love of his life, and how he poured himself out, how he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. And it pleased Almighty God and squelched the wrath of God against anyone who's in Jesus. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The Bible says that he made peace. The word for that is reconciliation. I've given you some references to that. I love Ephesians chapter 2. That he might reconcile, make friends out of enemies. These two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, both unto God by one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity. O ye that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now hath he reconciled. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. This is the testimony of Scripture. And so from this, I have the joy and the pleasure to reiterate God's call of peace. Be reconciled to God. Don't stand in a place of enmity against Him and experience forever God's wrath upon you. You can have perfect peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 and 20 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. I'm just an ambassador. These are the very words of God. I'm not making this up. God has a word of peace for you. God's done everything to accomplish on his side. Will you not lay down your arms? Will you not submit to him? Will you not be reconciled to God? He offers you forgiveness. This call of peace is a call to obey the gospel. The gospel must be obeyed according to Romans chapter 10. I think of the prodigal son. He had done his father wrong. He had dishonored him. He had wasted his living. He was in a place of, you might call it, a lack of peace. You can tell his stomach had no peace because he was starving. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks, not the grain, the husks that were being fed to the swine. And he came to himself and realized, wait a second, in my father's house there is plenty. Why am I estranged? Why am I so far away? I'll just go back. I'll just tell him how wicked I've been. I'll just tell him I'm not worthy to be his son anymore. And he turned around and he went back. That's what the gospel is telling you to do. Turn and come to God. He's waiting for you. He's not sitting in the house over the table with only two places set. He's already got a place set for you. He's longing. He's waiting. He's inviting. Not only is it turn and come, but the Bible says come and believe. John 6:35. The bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You've got to partake of what God has given to you. You've got to come to Jesus Christ and believe on Him. Put your trust in Him. Say, I believe that You are worthy, God. You've done it. You've done it all for me. I don't trust anything to myself. Salvation is not turning over a new leaf. It's not a determination to do better. It's an acceptance of the free gift of God, of what His blood has done for you. It's a worthy blood. It's a sufficient blood. Believe Him. Not only is it come and believe, it's believe and call. The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You put your trust in Him to the judgment day, and you will not be ashamed that you did. It will be the ticket. It will be the passport, the confidence that I have in Jesus Christ, the only hope that I have of eternal life with Him forever. And the Bible says, the same Lord who is over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Right. Shall be saved. Obey the gospel. Turn and come. Come and believe. Believe and call. And you will know peace. I talked to a man last night. And I asked him, have you ever experienced salvation? And he said, I was 11 years old. And I knew that I was going to hell. And I called on the Lord. And His testimony, he said the very first thing he said after he said, I called, he said, and I was filled with peace. That's my testimony too. As a young man, I couldn't look myself in the mirror. I was a sinner. But when I called on His name, the weight that was burdened me down that I couldn't carry anymore was gone. And I was at rest because I knew I had peace with God. God was my Father. He wasn't my enemy. He smiled upon me because I was His. If you'll believe the gospel, the watchdog of your soul, your conscience, will have the stern command of the Spirit of God. Hush. Be still. This is my child. Don't turn away from this call of peace. You say, oh, I've got another way. I've got another plan. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to submit to Him. You know what folly will rebuke you? The lack of peace in your life.
Right.
It will hound you till the day you die. And that's not God's wrath. It's God's mercy. Calling you to receive this message of peace. You can have it today. You can know peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that's the end. We're going to sing a song of invitation. A song of calling. If you need the Lord today, The time is now. Don't put it off. Don't let the appearances of others, don't let the pleasure of this world, it's fleeting, it's nothing. Don't stand before the judge with no peace.
Two twelve, go tell it on a mountain.